Perhaps you noticed in the prayer I alluded to the fact that today is the Reformed Church designated day to look at disabilities and to acknowledge those with disabilities. It isn't just because Connie's having problems today that I bring this up. It actually is something that's been planned for some time. And I believe Jim put an insert in your bulletin as well about disabilities. And so we're going to take a few minutes to think about that. And it actually goes very well with what we studied last week and what we're going to continue with this week. But in order to understand disabilities, I think that we first must understand abilities. And so I went to the dictionary. And the next slide has the dictionary definition. The power or capacity to do or act. It could be physically, mentally, legally, morally, financially. An ability is something you can do something with. It's a competence in an activity or occupation because of one's skill, training, or other qualifications, as in the ability to sing well. We talk about God-given abilities, potential. Abilities, talents, special skills, or aptitudes, like composing music is beyond his capabilities or his abilities. So that's what it means to have an ability. So, of course, it follows then that a disability is to not have an ability, or to perhaps have an ability that's been compromised and you're no longer able to do it as well as you could before or even at all. But consider, how do you know if somebody has the ability to play the piano? If you see it, or if you hear it, you know it. If somebody says so-and-so can play the piano, that doesn't necessarily prove it or make it so. But when you witness the action, then you know that there is an ability. What about a physical ability, athletic ability? Someone who has the ability to be an Olympic competitor or even champion. How do you know that that ability is there? Unless you see it. And perhaps the ability is there, the seed of it, but they don't develop it. They don't reach the potential of that ability, which of course is the opposite of a disability. The ability was there, but it's been compromised. So perhaps, just a thought, if one has the ability to be an Olympic champion, but they don't develop it, they in fact are living with a disability. And disabilities are much like abilities. In other words, you don't always see them or recognize them. And many people try to cover up their disabilities, and sometimes that's a good thing, because sometimes a disability can be distracting. I know people that just hurt all the time. It's got to be horrendous. But they don't show it. That person has a disability, and yet people don't know about it. And we are sheltered from having to deal with that disability because that person or people, whomever, don't show that disability. But if you know someone who's got something that is for them a compromise, painful, not just physically, but a painful experience, then you ought to try to accommodate whatever it is that holds them back. And you can't necessarily fix it, but you can accommodate it. Now, I got to tell you, today I newly appreciated what I knew before, but I appreciated that ramp that made it possible for Connie not to have to use the steps. Years ago, people thought, we need to accommodate those with disabilities. And so the ramp was built. Now, I'll also say that we've made efforts to build an elevator in this building. We have not been successful with that. It would have been nice if we'd had that. And Connie's, of course, not the only one who has trouble getting up and down. We had an elderly couple that has since passed on, and I always thought of them when we talked about the elevator, and we wanted to have it for them. But accommodating people's disabilities is something that I believe Jesus calls us to. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you look at what love means, it means to care about and to care for. And so, first of all, you care about someone who has a disability. And then you care for them. In other words, you accommodate it and try to make it easier for them. I think Jesus calls us to that. And then he said, you shall love your neighbor. How? As yourself. So you think, if it were me, how would I like to be accommodated? When I first built the homeless shelter for men, somebody says, well, are you going to put a ramp on it? I said, well, not yet. We'll do what we can. And so we built the shelter. It has, I think, 4 steps to get in it. But this summer, we built a ramp. So now somebody who can't use the steps can get in there. Now, have we needed it? Well, it's accommodated 1 or 2 people that found it much easier. But I think that we were called. We recognize a possibility, and then we try to do something about it, because Jesus calls us to that. So here's the point, though. When we stop to consider people with disabilities, considering is only part of it. We need to do that. But we are called to action, to do something. And that kind of leads us into the rest of the message that I want us to consider. Each of us has abilities, God-given abilities. But I think that most of us don't use all the abilities that God has built into us. And as we consider this congregation and how we're going to be moving forward in the next several months, it is incumbent upon us that we look at ourselves and we look at those around us and we say, what has God gifted me with? What abilities do I have that God is calling me to use? Now, like some potential Olympic champions who never recognize or develop their abilities, I think that that's the case with many church people as well. They are gifted, you are gifted, with certain abilities. But it never dawned on you that perhaps God is calling you to develop those abilities and use them to make action, to make something happen. But not just yourself. The people next to you, in front of you, behind you. They are part of us. You've heard me so many times say, we are brothers and sisters. We are in the same family. We should not be divided. And so if I have an ability, I ought to develop it and use it. If you have an ability, develop it, use it. Not just for yourself, but for those that are part of you. You see, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so how do we identify and then enable those who already have that potential in them? Last week, I listed four jobs that a church, a congregation such as ours, needs to be as successful as we could. Office manager, transportation director, kitchen coordinator, and building and grounds manager. Neatly defined packages. Please don't think of these, though, as little silos, and one person's going to sit in this one, and someone's going to sit in this one. These are, perhaps one person will take responsibility, but we need to support each other. We must not say, okay, that's your responsibility, you're the director of that, I'm not going to help. You do it. Shouldn't work that way. We each get together into it to support, to help, to accomplish, not for that person, but for ourselves and for the body of Christ, the church. So today we're going to add some more. Recognize these are being done in this congregation. But as we move forward, we need to see that they continue to be done. Next one, if we move on, is worship director. And since the primary purpose of humans here on earth is to worship, to praise, and to honor God, this is a very important position. It has to be a primary focus of any congregation. This person is responsible to arrange for or lead weekly worship services, supervise or procure pulpit supply, supervise or arrange for music and musicians, maintain the CCLL license, that's a copyright license, work with the communications director, the office manager, to publish bulletins and inserts, supervise decorations, the pyramids, banners, candles, flowers, supervise media efforts like the weekly PowerPoints, the announcements, the music, and work with the building and grounds manager to maintain the sound system, lighting, projector, furnishings. Oh, and to ring the bell. It's been my custom to ring it before Sunday school, even when we didn't have Sunday school, and then before church. And if you've been here early enough, you notice that we usually invite the little kids to help ring the bell, because it's something they can do in the church. It's an important job. And whoever does it must have the encouragement of the people around, the support of every one of us. And if you're not this person, perhaps you are the person that God is calling to point out who it is. Or to go up to somebody, that person, and say, psst, I think you're this person. I think that you can do this. And I'm behind you. Not hiding behind you. I'm behind you to help. Maybe that's what you're called to. The next one is education director. And this also is very important for the growth and the maturity of the church. This person will be responsible. Oops, went too far, didn't we?
Yeah.
This person will be responsible to find and schedule Sunday school teachers, to confirm those teachers' abilities, to confirm training and service dates, to determine Sunday school lessons and materials, the curriculum, facilitate the teen girls meeting and other youth activities if possible, to facilitate the twice monthly women's fellowship, to support VBS programs whenever possible, to facilitate weekly nursing home Bible study, perhaps at Macy Nursing Home, facilitate the weekly jail ministry, to assure that everything needed to teach is available and working. The rooms, the video or sound players, whiteboards, dry markers, crayons, markers, paper, scissors, copies, all of those things. To supervise the church library and suggest other educational options for the Winnebago Reformed Church. This person, together with the worship director, is one who can really help us to focus on Jesus' command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So how can we go teach if we haven't already learned? How can we ask somebody to teach who hasn't been a disciple? Who hasn't learned to embody what it means to follow Jesus? And so we have to be a little careful of those that we ask to teach. We don't want them to teach the wrong things. We want to make it possible for people to be disciples of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, make disciples. And it's kind of odd because it's impossible for us to make disciples. But Jesus was talking to his disciples, his learners. And he was telling them, okay, now guys, you need to step up. You need to make it possible for people to decide to be disciples, to be learners, to be followers. Making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. You see, the Jesus commandment, all of these things come together. A church would not be a church if it didn't teach. That's part of what we're here for. But we would not be a church if nobody learned. So we make opportunity to become disciples. And then there's the mission outreach and special events director, another key person in our mission. This person will coordinate worship and education with various methods of reaching people. He or she will work with the education director to produce the annual Christmas program and the candy and fruit distribution. Communicate with mission teams and facilitate their projects. Supervise those mission teams and their support. For instance, making sure there's bedding for them or a place for them to sleep. Or there's tools, cooking utensils, towels, toys, signs, posters. This person will work with the building and grounds manager to make best use of mission teams. To work with the communication director to publicize mission team projects. And to post posters around town for special events. It's one of those do-it jobs. We get by without this person, but we won't be as successful. Because this is the one that's working behind the scenes to make sure that things work and get done. Abilities. Disabilities. You can't always see either one. And you probably won't see either one unless you're willing to see abilities or disabilities. And sometimes people are much more affected by either one, abilities or disabilities, than the person next to them, or you or me. But that doesn't minimize their importance, both the negative and the positive. And so I just want to challenge us. What is God calling you to do? Will you be the point person? Or will you be the person behind the point person? The person that makes it possible for them to be successful in what God has called them to do. I was visiting with somebody, and he said, which is more important, the teacher or the mentor? And the answer is, neither one is more important. Because God calls us in different ways. Some are called to stand up in front and say, this is what it is. Others are called, or maybe the same person, to go out and show, this is how it works. And those same people, or others, are called to say, okay, now you know how it works. I'm behind you. We can make this happen. We are the body of Christ. And each part of the body has its abilities or disabilities. But we're part of God's plan. Let's move it forward. Let's pray. Father, here we are. Teach us your way. Call us to your work. Show us your opportunities. Encourage us to do what you call us to do. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.